There's a nationwide funding crisis that prevents teachers from getting the resources they need. That's where Donors Choose comes in. People like you can help teachers get funding for supplies and experiences their students need to succeed. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
2023 is just around the corner. Much of it has already been leaked or at least flown in the form of several kites. But do we know what Ministers Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue will do with what's reported as an extra 6.7 billion in the kitty? However, much of that is already spoken for. The real amount will be much, much less. And of course, all of this will go back to Putin's war. He upped the ante even more in his mobilisation speech during the week. We've demographics changes as revealed by the census in Northern Ireland, still not approaching a majority who see themselves as simply Irish. And if we did have a united Ireland, could we afford all the pensions we would have to pay, even with our new regime? We're joined for our Friday forum by Verona Murphy, Independent Wexford TD, Elaine Loughlin, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner, and Barry Andrews, Fianna Fáil MEP for Dublin. Good morning and welcome to you both. Oh, and now, Barry, first of all, having difficulty drumming up a crowd for your Ardesh.
Yeah, I didn't see the piece in the paper this morning, Pat, but we've moved the Ardesh from City West to the RDS. And there is, I know, as everybody knows, a shortage of hotel beds in Dublin at the moment. It's harder for our rural members to get to the RDS than the City West. And I'd say that's a lot to do with it. It's harder for parking. And the other factor that may well be playing a role here is that there are not as many positions that are votable at the Ardesh this year. And normally you'd have be filling positions for vice presidents. So delegates would be brought up by candidates in order to.
But basically, no room at the inn is the real reason, probably.
It's
or
partially
too expensive to stay in the inn.
Certainly part of the reason is hotel prices and the cost of fuel to drive up and down. You know, if you're coming from Kerry, you're coming from Mayo, you're coming from Donegal, that's €200 before you even set foot in the audience.
You'd think they would rally round to give Micheál Martin his last hurrah as Taoiseach.
Well, we don't know that it's his last hurrah as Taoiseach. He could win the next general election and be returned as Taoiseach, Pat. So,
I see pigs flying there.
No, you know, look, certainly he'll get a great reception in the RDS next week.
All right, we will park that one. It's only relevant to Fianna Fáil, I suppose. Verona, I want to talk to you, first of all, about the census in Northern Ireland. What did you take from the numbers?
Well, I think it's eminent of what has happened in the last election. It's reflective of that. But I don't think we should read more into it. And I think we have so much going on at the moment, cost of living wise and everything, that it's inevitable that at some point we're going to come to a referendum on the North and unification. But I just think it's the wrong time. We're in the middle of new leadership in the UK. There's lots of concern about the protocol and furthering that before the end of this government. You know, the destabilising factor that we have a change of leader and possibly even foreign minister in December is quite concerning. It gives us 4 months to get to know a new leader in the UK whom we know has changed her mind as a Brexiteer or is now a Brexiteer. So, I mean,
she was a Lib Dem as well. Yeah. I mean, she's a changer of minder. That's what she is.
Well, so are many of her own. I mean, the reality here is, I suppose, what good is a mind if you can't change it? But we need to sort out the situation in Northern Ireland from the All-Ireland trade perspective.
But the pure numbers, I mean, if you've somewhere between 30 and 40% of people who say, my identity is Irish. Mm-hmm. And then you have a similar amount who says, my identity is British. Mm-hmm. And then there's another 20% who say, my identity is Northern Irish. There's no recipe there for a guaranteed successful border poll, is there?
Correct. And I think it would be too early to adjudicate it on the basis of those results.
All right, Elaine.
And we have seen the tensions that have been mounting and boiling under the surface and festering as a result of Brexit. So could even a potential border poll result in that spilling over the edge and toppling over the edge? The last thing we want to do is go back to violence. I'm not saying that that would be a consequence of a border poll, but it has to be taken into consideration. Another thing that has to be taken into consideration is, while many people ideologically would be in favour of a border poll and a united Ireland, we'd have massive questions to go through and to think about before any sort of a vote. I'm thinking about our health service. Would we adopt an NHS-style system down here, or would people in Northern Ireland have to go through the long waiting times and two-tier system that we have in this country? what would we do with the Gardaí? Would there be, would we see Gardaí on the other side of the border, or would we retain the PSNI? And these are just two questions that we'd have to sift
through. I mean, there are ways in which you could accommodate that. I mean, you've got in the UK, you've got different regional police forces, and you could, that would maybe be the least of your worries. But, you know,
but we would have to sort out the nitty gritty before we posed any sort of a question to people.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's a key point. You know, what the Brits did wrong when Brexit is they didn't figure out what would happen if they voted to leave the European Union. And we absolutely have to do that in Ireland. If we're going to have a border poll, we have to figure out what the landing ground is. How this isn't
like what am I voting
well,
for?
Well, it's not an acquisition. Where, you know, Northern Ireland doesn't disappear. Mm-hmm. What happens is two things come together and a new thing emerges, and we really have to figure that out. But the implications of this week's census to me is that the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, under the Good Friday Agreement, if he, and it's a he on this occasion, thinks that the circumstances are right for a border poll and it's likely to be voted for, he has to, under the Good Friday Agreement, trigger a border poll. Now, the results of the census...
Yeah, but how does he know? Is he like Devon looking into his own heart and saying, I think might happen?
The genius of the Good Friday Agreement, there's an awful lot of ambiguity in it and, you know, a lot of grey areas. And so it's not very clear what would trigger that conclusion in his mind. But the census results, as you just pointed out, some are British, some are Irish, some are Northern Irish, wouldn't trigger his conclusion that we are now...
But isn't this useful for Sinn Féin? It's not likely to happen for... probably decades, that you will have the circumstances that would guarantee a win, because that's what...
I think this is where I think it will end up, is that somebody will take a judicial review of the British government for not fulfilling its obligations under the agreement. Then it will be a judge
and
in a court.
As we've seen from the elections, the Good Friday Agreement may well need to be looked at because it has not given effect to democracy in Northern Ireland. Like, we had a perfectly good result, and we still don't have a sitting government. And that, like, it is affecting how we operate down here. It's affecting the people in Northern Ireland. Such water schemes, different things, that there's nothing can be done until we have a sitting government. So I think we need to look at the problems that we have and rectify them
first.
And
there is a review clause in the Good Friday Agreement.
And it should absolutely be invoked.
Especially for
There are people who are calling for a sort of a citizens' assembly type thing to look at the shape of a united Ireland, what would be beyond a referendum. But you took me and said, what about the anthem? Do we ditch the anthem? No, you couldn't do that.
I think it's...
And what about our flag? Well, yeah, the orange people are represented in our flag. You couldn't ditch that, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the way we have to move beyond the idea of an acquisition to this idea of something new emerging. And we have to have that honest conversation with ourselves. And if we don't find room in a future United Ireland that gives real expression to the cultural, social concerns of unionism, then I don't believe you're a proper Republican.
And yeah, but
a proper
Republican has both ways, and I think that's the thing. We have got to look at it as we're never going to agree, so we have to come to a common ground. And it's, I think you're right, Pat. I think it's decades away, but I think we have so much to concentrate on.
I wish it were otherwise, but the problem is when you see the divisions that are still very real there, to try to forecast some meeting of minds that would allow... I don't know, are we talking about a federal Ireland? It has to be an agreed Ireland.
Well, I think what we have to understand, it's Ireland south and north, and we have a huge interfering factor, which is called the EU, and we're not allowed to... When I say interfering, I don't mean it in a negative way. I mean, basically, we are being dictated to how Brexit works, and that's the problem for all of us. There's nothing that we can decide for ourselves except to keep good relations.
Well, I think I think it's a misrepresentation. I think Ireland plays a huge role. Being in Brussels, I see that the Irish permanent representation in Brussels plays a huge role in shaping the European Commission's dealings with the UK government. Nothing happens without the Irish government having an input. And frankly, the further away you are from the UK going east to Central Europe, they really don't care about Brexit.
But I think when it comes to the protocol, Barry, I sat for 4 years on a Brexit committee with revenue commissioners in Dublin Castle. There were many solutions that were never, ever even considered.
Yeah, but you're talking about something that's central to what we were referring to a moment ago about unification and all the rest. There was no honesty on the part of the DUP in terms of the usefulness or practicality of the protocol. It was all about trying to cement the union more tightly. And that's the only reason, because everything else was great news for them. access to the single market, access to the UK market. What's not to like? Well, it would weaken the union.
Yeah, and
it strengthens the Northern Irish identity. If the protocol works, if it actually works, and if they do get the benefit of both the single market and the UK internal market, it solidifies Northern Ireland. People like me who want to see United.
It does seem, though, that the Brexit issue has raised what has been going on for a long time amongst unionists, and this is the fact that they do feel threatened now with the change in demographics as well in Northern Ireland, and that they are becoming perhaps more hardline in their views because they feel they have to cling on to their views. And if we were to go for a referendum, I think that would have to be teased out. And if you go back to the success of the Repeal the Eighth referendum, we had everything marked out and lined out for the public before they went to vote. We had the Citizens' Assembly, we had a committee on the Eighth Amendment, and the general public were in full knowledge of what would happen immediately after that referendum. And I think that would have to happen, and that, like Fiona has said, could take decades to sort out.
On the protocol, I mean, Joe Biden didn't give Liz Truss much comfort when he met her. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. He was saying to her, but she's not going to be able to deliver any kind of a US-UK trade deal anytime soon.
Well, that was never going to happen. The US have no interest in a trade agreement. But US politicians kept saying, well, if you don't do the protocol, we're not going to give you a trade agreement. That's off the table. And I hope that the US will now take a much more proactive role, possibly appoint a special envoy. There's a trade and technology council between the EU and the US. Bring the UK into that. Maybe give them a sectoral agreement of some sort for trade. And the US is not actually playing a constructive role at the moment. Unlike the days of George Mitchell, I don't see the US leaning into this. I'm surprised that there isn't a US special envoy. There hasn't been one since Mulvaney.
But maybe you can't talk.
We do know that.
Maybe you can't talk to the Brits, and that's the truth of it at the moment, because, you know, the quality of their politicians is pretty deplorable at the moment.
I fail to believe that the US administration has no leverage over the UK, but the fact that the trade agreement is off the table is positive, because now we have to talk about realities. Newton Emerson, a good article in the Irish Times yesterday, I think it was, where he described the US-UK trade on or off again thing as a pantomime, and that's exactly what it was.
Let's move on to the pension scheme, as announced earlier this week. Elaine, what was your take on it? Because it seemed to be a kind of a constructive fudge that everyone keeps what they have, but those who want to work a bit get a bit more.
And I think we should be concerned that there's no timelines on this. We do know that PRSI is going to rise, but we were told that it won't be in this year's budget, possibly not next year's budget.
Because we're in surplus. Now, I heard the minister talking about the fund being in. All that means is that the amount in this year is more than enough to pay the obligations of this year. There is no fund that's earning money on the stock market. There is no fund. Isn't that so, Barry?
I think there's a recognition that, yes, there's a surplus this year, but there is a recognition that there is, you know, the social insurance fund needs to be replenished.
It's not a fund in the classic sense.
It's called this social insurance fund, so we have to make sure that we make proper account for it. And that's why the minister was, you know, unambiguous that there has to be some way to address this in the years to come. Nobody wants to go down the road of, you know, means testing the contributory pension. Nobody wants to reduce the pension. So the only way to do this is through additional PRSI payments. And Elaine is right. We don't know exactly what the timeline is. We don't know what the values are. We don't know who's going to be targeted. All of that
and
remains
pensions
to be
seen. Are always a difficult sell, because you are imposing a tax burden on people today for something they might not qualify for until 30, 40 years' time. So it's a bit like climate change, very hard to see in the near future for people, but it really is a ticking time bomb, as people are saying.
I hear what Barry is saying. I think the timeline that's been mentioned, Elaine, is 2024. But from my perspective, I think I sit on the Public Accounts Committee. I get very irked when I hear of more PRSI needs to be garnered. We need to do more with what we have, and we need to start to look at the waste in sectors. We could gather billions if they would sit up and take notice and listen to the recommendations and start to use money in the way that it should be and join dots. There's so much wastage, Pat.
For instance?
The 80 million that was spent during COVID on ventilators that we couldn't use. There was no tender process. We couldn't use them. We exported them, in effect, to a country in the end for charity. Like, that's just one that sticks out, and we're awaiting a report on that.
But the likes of that 80 million would be a drop in the ocean of what we need to cover.
services, the future 24 billion, Elaine, and by no means is that a drop in the ocean. We're looking at increasing the budget for the health service instead of actually getting in and getting down and tidying it up. That's where we're top heavy with administration within the HSE. Every time we need to do something, we've been given a whole time equivalent dietitian to deal with the huge increase in anorexia patients in Wexford. We can't recruit one. And the reason we can't recruit one is that there is no correlation with the people we are educating and the Department of Health and the HSE. We have 101 OTs coming out, occupational therapists. Not one of them were offered a job by the HSE this year, even though we know that there's a deficit required of possibly 100. And I like, this for me is extremely frustrating, and it must be very frustrating for my daughter who's 28 and wondering where her tax is going to go, because we need to be accountable.
But at the same time, Verona, while we could make savings, and you're very right in pointing to a number of areas where there have been overspends or perhaps spending that should never have happened.
Elaine, Irish Water received, they used 10 million in performance bonuses.
But can we be
South County Wexford had no water almost for the whole month of July, and which I'm working on day and night. It is unbelievable. They continue to put a stick and plaster on leaks. Then they give repair for a kilometre of new infrastructure, but all it's doing is kicking the can down the road. We can't continue with this piecemeal approach. There has to be a plan, and this government and successive governments don't have it.
I think we should be doing both, though. I think in tandem with trying to make savings for overspending and probably spending that should never happen, we do need to look at the pensions issue. And I think even cutting back on that type of wastage is not going to get us where we need
but
to be.
The pensions issue, by the way,
time.
You know, you work, you're being asked to work longer, you get a few quid extra if you work until you're 70. But the question is, some people work relatively few years and get the full contributory pension. Other people have flogged themselves for years and years and years. They get the same pension. Well, in the private sector, if you've a privately funded pension, the more you put in, the more you get out. That's not the way our system works.
I think the announcement during the week was actually very well received. I mean, we know how toxic pension, I think you mentioned that, Elaine, your comments there, that it can be a really difficult political issue, and it dominated the early stages of the general election in 2020. But I think it was extremely well received, and that is a critical part of it. There's the economics of it, really critical, but there has to be that social buy-in. And, you know, when I was in government back in 2008 and we got the medical card thing spectacularly wrong for the over 70s, you can see that if you get these things wrong and you calibrate it wrongly politically, you can pay a very heavy price for it. So I think it was
so
extremely well received.
So saying that the more you put in, the more you get out, that would be politically unpalatable.
Well, I think
to those who are supported by those who put little or nothing in.
I would agree it's well received. I'm not saying that it was bad. What I am saying is we haven't seen the detailed proposal. I mean, I'm hearing that carers are to be included. That would be huge, but I haven't seen the detail.
No, but look, that's an incredibly positive step.
Absolutely, if it transpires to be that way, absolutely. But I think the reality is we cannot say that it can only happen if there's a PRSI increase.
Elaine, that, do you think the government got it right on this one? Silence some of the critics who resented the idea that you could work after 66?
Mm-hmm. Well, they certainly have, as you said at the beginning, Pat, they have fudged it. They've given you the opportunity to retire at the current age or work on till the age of 70. So it's a nice balancing act there. But I think on the issue of pensions, you're never going to please everyone.
No. But on the issue of budgets, I don't think everyone will be pleased either. The money's been spent over and over again. We'll see how it finally gets spent in reality in the budget this coming week. Look, my thanks to you all. Verona Murphy, Independent Wexford TD, Elaine Loughlin, Deputy Political Editor of the Irish Examiner, and Barry Andrews, Fianna Fáil MEP for Dublin. And that's all we've time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to in the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.
There's a nationwide funding crisis that prevents teachers from getting the resources they need. That's where Donors Choose comes in. People like you can help teachers get funding for supplies and experiences their students need to succeed. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.